Greg, I got two pieces of good news. This is a 5-minute presentation and 3 slides. Precision agriculture in Arkansas has changed soil sampling and the way our soil test lab does business. Our farmers are largely contracting out soil testing or soil sampling services to consultants and commercial entities. They're coming in right behind the combine. And, you know, it used to be that January, February, March, and then a wet year, April, were our busiest months. Now, late September, October, and November are now our peak months, and our soil sample volume at our lab has reached about 200,000 samples per year, and about 50,000 of those are submitted during a 4-week period in October alone. So when we look at that, you know, precision agriculture is doing what? It's trying to account for the spatial variability and improve nutrient management in that regard. But it's also, with the way things are going now, because everybody wants to, you know, be in their deer stands and be able to duck hunt when they want in the wintertime, it's changing. You know, we're ignoring the temporal aspects. And our recommendations in Arkansas are based upon soil samples that are collected late winter. We don't have the problem of knee-deep snow and frozen soils like you have in the Midwest. Our major problem is being able to get out into the field, you know, due to moisture conditions and get good samples. But in most years, you can. It's just maybe a little bit cooler and a little bit more difficult. So one of my master's degree students in a project where he was validating the accuracy of our recommendations went in and collected samples from harvest on through the following spring to look at the effect of previous crop, and here we're talking about either soybean or rice, sample time, which is in some cases for soybean. Actually, he took some samples before harvest, and then we had two rates, either 0 or 30 kilograms of P per hectare, or 0 to... we had two different rates in a couple of different studies, 84 to 112 kilograms a K. So just to set this slide up, the sites, we had 6 sites following each crop. Soybean is shown on the left. Rice, samples that were taken following rice are shown on the right. The axis on the x-axis is days after crop harvest, so 0 would be crop harvest. If it's a negative number like you see there in the soybean, those were samples that he took at the physiological maturity, maximum nutrient uptake. And the y-axis is soil test P difference. So we took the soil test phosphorus or potassium in the April or May soil samples that we collected and calculated the difference of what we were getting after the crop was harvested. So the nuts and bolts of this is that if you look at what had the greatest effect, it was for soybean, we'll start there, it's the effect of previous crop fertilization, whether you applied P or K or you did not. Typically for phosphorus, we were seeing about a 5 parts per million difference, and where we did not apply phosphorus, our soil test P tended to be just a little bit lower than where we were in the prior spring. Where we applied P, it was a little bit higher. And the slope of those regression lines is significant, but it's very gradual. So over time, from, you know, the fall all the way through the next spring, a period of about 150 to 180 days, we're seeing a slight decrease, but only a change of 3 or 4 parts per million. For beans in phosphorus and rice, it really does not matter that great or the temporal variability during that, say, 150-day period did not have a great effect on soil test P or K, so it would not have much of an effect at all with the way our recommendations are set up in kind of a stair step of 30 part per million differences for K and about 8 or 9 part per million stair-step levels for P, unless you were right there around one of those bracket or thresholds. For rice, again, we saw basically the same thing for soil test phosphorus with more of a negative suppression. You got to remember this was flood irrigated, so the flood irrigation system, after you remove that, The pea changes forms and it's a little bit less available to plants, as well as to the Malic 3 extract, which is the soil test method we were using. But essentially, phosphorus did not change much and showed a very similar trend as what we saw with the soybean. But where we really saw the effect of time on soil test was for potassium following rice. And I think this is similar to what Antonio has probably shown in the Midwest, there in Iowa, that you have a crop that has a large amount of potassium in the residue. There's a lot of residue, because rice, you know, a very high yielding crop will be, again, 10 to 12,000 pounds of straw returned back to the soil. And in a year like this year, where we're basically in a drought, we've had very little rain since the end of August, a lot of that potassium is still in the straw, and it has to be moved out of the straw and back into the soil, and the soil kind of has to find its new equilibrium. So what we're seeing is that if you are sampling behind rice, it probably you need to delay sampling until early December. And unfortunately, that's when duck season is starting. So basically, in a nutshell, if you're soil sampling following beans, there's not much of an effect of the temporal variability across time, and your fertilizer recommendations are probably sound. If you're following soil sampling following rice, there is an effect, and potassium is the nutrient that you have to be concerned with. Thanks.
So this is one of the 5-minute presentations?
Yes.
Do you have a corresponding poster then? Is that how that works or
not? No, you're not required to have a corresponding poster. I just don't have to talk for 10 more minutes.
So, any questions for Nathan?
Yeah, Wayne?
You know, the Arkansas recommendations for PK, do they have fall applications or are you all free?
Well, that question has come up a lot, and several years ago we did research where we looked at P and K applications for both rice and soybean, where we made them in October, we made them in February, and then we made them right before we planted. And we also, just in case we didn't get yield responses, which is very common for us for P, we did tissue analysis, and basically we did see some yield responses to fertilization from K, but there was no difference from application time. And the tissue analysis for both of those nutrients basically showed that when the rate was the same, it didn't matter when it was applied. But we do know also that there are instances where we have seen, you know, phosphate applied pre-plant to rice, for example, and we still get P deficiency. So, you know, we kind of have, you know, some rules of thumbs that we give to our farmers about, you know, when to apply. You know, if you're going to flood up for ducks or if you're in a floodplain, probably don't need to apply your P and K in the fall. If you're, you know, single-digit phosphorus, you probably don't need to apply it in the fall. So, you know, there's some rules of thumb like that that we go through with them. But, yeah, we do have an increasing amount of P and K that's being applied in the October.
Well, the reason I was asking that, because, you know, in our situation, if we're just across the river, that, you know, because of resistant weeds, you know, we're trying to get as much work done in the fall as possible so that they can put out a herbicide in the fall. So we're trying to get the P and K out so that every operation is a method of incorporation without actually incorporating P and K. So we're looking for to have the soil test recommendations earlier so farmers can make them. So in your case, are you relying on maybe last year's recommendations? Or, you know, how do you address that issue if you're not going to soil test until December?
Well, most of the guys that are putting fertilizer out in the fall, I mean, you've got the gamut, okay? But most of those guys are going out and, you know, they're the ones that are collecting samples right behind the combine. Now, you know, a little humorous, you know, we do have the guys that, you know, they're applying two tons of poultry litter right behind the combine, then taking their soil samples, and they call you and say, you know, I put two tons of litter out, why am I still getting a P and K recommendation? It's all over the board. You know, for corn, I would really encourage them to not apply the P and the K in the fall, to apply it in the spring, and then when they're pulling their beds, they pull that up. And especially for phosphorus on our low P, poorly drained soils. I think that's a better approach than putting it out in the fall.
Okay, with that, we better call it quits to keep within the 5 minutes that we had allotted. Thank you very much.